We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
All right. Welcome to the corner. We are coming at you from Insert Coins Bar and Arcade in downtown Vegas. Get ready for an hour of wrestling, boxing, and MMA talk. I'm Kel Dansby, journalist for BSO.
And I'm Andreas Hill, journalist for a whole bunch of people, including Billboard. And I got to watch a Taylor Swift concert.
He's hype about that.
Yes!
Today we'll preview UFC 187. We might get to a little bit of pro wrestling. We have a guest coming through in a little while, a very special guest for you guys. But first, we got to talk about Triple G just knocking people the hell out.
Yo, listen, Gennady Golovkin is the real deal. And anybody who says otherwise, shout out to you, Glasses Malone. I know you're listening. You're foolish. Triple G, what he did to William Monroe is just another chapter in these epic knockouts.
Yo, getting knocked out by someone who sounds like Borat has to be, like, one of the best shit ever. Like, yo, it sounds like Borat. I love it. He's from Kazakhstan. He got the whole thing. He speaks Spanish every now and then to the Mexican fans. He got it. Like, he's the full package, and he knocks people out every time.
Yo.
Every single time.
Listen, when you fight somebody and you knock them down and they get up, think about it and say, I'm good. You hit hard.
Yo, you saw his face? Like, his eyes widened, and he was just like, nah, y'all ain't paying me enough for this.
I don't need this shit.
Business decision.
His heart said, Willie, get up. And his mind said, stupid ass, stay down. And when he got up, his mouth was like, nah, I quit. I'm good. I'm good, son.
Yo, made it long enough.
It's a different, like, I try to tell people this. And what ended up happening is I was at the Taylor Swift concert. And I'm sorry. Who was performing that night? I don't know. Bruno Mars, I think.
Bruno Mars. You're everywhere.
And I ended up running to the media room to watch the fight. Right? So sorry, Rock and Rio Festival, but I was watching the fight instead of performances. And I ended up engaging in like an hour-long Twitter debate with everybody about how good Triple G is. And one of the things I got to explain to people is like, I spent a weekend in Big Bear with Triple G a while ago. And I filmed him. We did a documentary on Life and Times, but we didn't film his sparring sessions. And his sparring sessions were otherworldly because he would hit people with, and everything hurts. Everybody I ever talked to that fought Triple G says everything he hits you with hurts. It's not like he loads up and hits you with one shot and it's like, that shit hurt. Everything hurts. So Willie was like an accumulation of punishment to the point where it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
He could have got him out in that second round.
You know he could have.
He dialed it back. He said so after the fight. Yeah. He was like, I want to give people a show. Yo, the way he said it, though, was incredible. I wish I could remember it. He's like, I make show. Yeah, I bring show.
Give present to fans. I give present. He good boy.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
It's great.
Gennady Golovkin is the scariest fighter on the planet right now. In terms of, he may not be pound for pound number one, but it's clear nobody wants to fight him.
No way. He can fight in three different weight classes. Easy. He doesn't care. He'll go down to 154. He'll go up to about 168 if he has to fight Ward.
He doesn't care. He'll do it. And the worst thing is, like, you don't see Oscar De La Hoya was like, you know, we're going to put Canelo in there with him. He's not jumping for that.
Oh, God, no.
Miguel Cotto is like, I'm fighting Daniel Gale this weekend. You want to fight Triple G? No thanks. Nobody wants to fight Gennady Golovkin. And people are now getting mad at Gennady for not getting the fights. But don't blame him. Blame the other punks that don't want to fight him.
Yo, nah, that's a smart move by them. Like, you know what? I don't care. Just, you got to say boxers are ducking him, whatever. Smart business decision. Because you don't want to get in there and get knocked out. Like, he's just taking people's souls in the ring.
See, here's the thing, right? You fight Floyd Mayweather, you lose, you still got your senses intact. You're not necessarily embarrassed. You just got outclassed by one of the best in the world. Your argument can be, he ran for 12 rounds. He didn't fight me. And you can save face. You can't save face getting your face beat in. Because Gennady's not allowing you to get around. He cuts off the ring extremely well. And he's going to knock you out.
Since you're number one in the Gennady Golovkin fan club.
Waving the flag, goddammit.
Right now, him, Andre Ward. Right now.
Right now, Gennady wins. And here's why.
His mentions are done.
No, here's why Gennady wins right now.
Because
Andre Ward hasn't fought in 2 years. That's the only reason why Gennady wins.
I wish we'd get Glasses on the phone right now.
Yeah, but after Ward has his fight, when he fights on the 20th, I'll be better able to look at this. Because the only way you could beat Gennady Golovkin is you have to be a defensive-minded fighter that can neutralize his offense. You're not going to win in a firefight. Canelo will get in there, get in a firefight with Gennady, and get flattened.
Knocked right out.
Like, when your defense is your offense, you're going to lose to Golovkin. You have to be a sound technical fighter. Ward is that person, but for Ward to immediately step in there tomorrow to fight Gennady Golovkin would be a horrible idea.
I mean, we saw Cotto get dropped by Pacquiao and, like, other guys who are way smaller than Gennady, so Golovkin takes him out. Nah. 1, 2, 3.
You can't chop with him. Like, this guy's chopping wood. Like, you can't go out there and chop trees with Gennady Golovkin. He's going to beat you chopping that tree down. So your best bet is to be defensive. You have to take away his strengths. You have to be faster than him. You have to poke with a jab. Like a Floyd Mayweather type of fighter at a higher weight class is exactly who Andre Ward is the best kind of guy to beat him. Right now, he doesn't do it. He's been sitting on the shelf too long. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how good Andre Ward looks. I hope he looks great because I'm very high in the Andre Ward fan club, but I just need him to be active.
Who's the unlucky guy who gets him? Who's the big name that's dumb enough to step in there with him thinking next? They can stop Triple G? Who's first? The hell with next? Who's the first that says, this guy's overrated? Let me test this, and gets flattened.
I think what will happen is Cotto will fight Gil. Cotto's on his farewell tour, and maybe he musters it up to get a huge payday out of Gennady in his, you know, one of his last fights. Canelo fighting Triple G is like a Cinco de Mayo fight or a Mexican Independence Day fight in 2016. Doesn't happen this year. Because you lose to Gennady again, it changes your life. You no longer like, he's so excellent. It's like, dude, you're the guy who got fucked up by Gennady Golovkin. That's who you are for the rest of your life.
Oh, that's because you don't lose by a decision.
No,
to
you
Golovkin.
Get killed.
Yeah, like, either you're going to win by a decision or you're going to get flattened in the fifth.
Like, okay, there are people say, there was this argument that Canelo's fought better competition than Gennady Golovkin. True. He's fought Floyd Mayweather. He lost. He fought Arisandi Lara. People thought he lost. I had him winning, but it was that close. He didn't look great against those fighters. Gennady Golovkin's looked great against everybody. And the eye test tells me that these two step in the ring, I don't think Canelo could take that kind of power.
Can Triple G fight Lara, you think?
He cuts off the ring better. Angulo put Lara down. People forget that. Angulo put Lara down. If Triple G puts his hands on Lara, he's going to put him down. Like, people say, Canelo's faster. His footwork's not as good.
No.
And he doesn't wait for openings like Gennady did. The first knockdown that Gennady had, when he kind of lurched down there, cocked his left hand back, kind of waited, and then threw it and knocked Monroe down. Most fighters don't have the type of patience to get that opening.
I talked to Amir Khan the other day. He said he beats Gennady Golovkin.
Who?
Khan.
Khan beats Gennady Golovkin?
Talked to him.
A tag team partner?
Talked to him like three days ago.
The Hammer of Thor?
Said he got hit and hit a lot in that fight.
Did he flinch?
He left himself open, and he says it's just not the right opponents to take advantage of it.
Wait.
But he is susceptible to being knocked out.
Hold up. This is the Amir Khan that got knocked out by Danny Garcia, right?
Just saying.
And Triple G.
Who else did I speak to the other day?
They got
to
stop it. Well, yeah, Darrell's a good fighter.
We spoke to Darrell the other day? Yeah, he thinks he beats Triple G too. I asked everyone recently about Triple G. They all think he's susceptible.
I mean.
They think he takes a lot of punches. They thought in the last fight, you know, last weekend, they thought he showed a lot of holes defensively. And I think, you know, he's going to say, my punch is stronger than your punch, so we're just going to trade him.
Yeah.
And I think that's his philosophy. But, you know, they think that he's just really mediocre defensively, and they can take advantage of it.
Darrell said that? Darrell lost him in the Olympics.
I have it. Somewhere on record, he can beat Triple G.
Yo, Darrell lost to Gennady in the Olympics. Darrell's been in the ring with Triple G in the amateurs when they had headgear on. Fighting him without headgear, if you couldn't win with headgear and extra protections on, like, come on, man. You can't come to a gunfight with a bulletproof vest and lose and then come back without one and think you're going
to
win.
Yo, they see holes in this game. I don't know. It's your boy. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, Amir Khan thinks he can beat Floyd Mayweather too, right?
Yeah, he believes he can beat everyone.
Yo,
every single person.
They got to cut it out. No, but seriously, though, Triple G's next fight is going to be against probably another can. Maybe he gets Andy Lee or Peter Quillen ain't going to fight him. But, And then his big fight's not going to be till next year. He's going to get a fight in some other country, and he'll probably fight again in December. And
he always fights in Morocco or whatever. Yeah, he gets that, like, one random foreign fight where he knocks the guy out in three rounds.
They're doing the right thing with Gennady. They're keeping him active, and they're keeping him knocking people out. And it's not like he's fighting complete cans. Martin Murray gave, you know, Sergio Martinez hell. And a lot of people thought Martin Murray won that fight. So it's like he's knocking people out who've never even been knocked out before. Monroe's never been knocked out before. He just got abused. Sorry, man. Y'all got to stop with the Triple G hate. Triple G's a bad dude.
I don't know. People aren't on your side with this Triple G stuff. They think he's Tyson, like you said.
If there's one thing I know, it's my box. Like, You can go through my Twitter feed. You can go through my predictions. Very rarely am I ever wrong about boxing. I call fights because I've watched this shit for a long time. Y'all who just started watching boxing and just all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, Triple G's going to lose because he's like Mike Tyson, y'all stop it. See me somewhere else with some kind of other argument. Argue with me about baseball or some shit. Talk to me about the White Sox. Don't talk to me about no goddamn boxing.
Well, there's another big fight coming up this summer that we're really looking forward to, and we have one of the people from that fight joining us today. So it's time to invite our guest in.
Showtime.
Here he is.
I'm in the building. Showtime Sean Porter here, 25-1-1, looking to be 26-1-1 real soon. June 20th, I go against Adrian Brown at the MGM Grand. Y'all please be there. Show up. Show out. It's going to be fun.
Yo, huge fight. Huge fight. Like we were saying right before we came on air, yo, the summer is yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you put it to me like that, because anyone who knows me knows I'm stingy. I want it all. So you giving me the whole summer, man, I'm going to take it, you know.
Whole summer, all eyes on you.
It's a few months left, but, you know, I'm going to do something in the ring that night that's going to leave an everlasting effect on everyone out there, just like, you know, my past performances have been.
So, Sean, I've talked to you for a minute. This is a fight that you landed. I'm sure you wanted this fight. But when you got the call and said this is going to be Broner on free television, so there's going to be people that have never seen you fight before that's going to tune in, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know what, going back to when I got the call that it was going to be Adrian Browner, it was, you know, just one of those things where people always say he's not going to fight you, he doesn't want to fight you, this and that. When we first got the call, we said, all right, just sign the contract, you know. Mm-hmm. So a little bit here and there, we would get a phone call letting us know how the things were progressing and they were going in the right direction. So we continue to do what we do, which is just continue to work hard. And, you know, we finally got the call that he signed the contract, and, you know, we've full-fledged in camps so far. So you know, people that haven't seen me yet, it's going to be a treat. People that have seen me, you're going to see something that, you know, you're going to get everything that you expect out of Sean Porter on June 20th. And being on NBC is just a pleasure. It's a treat. Like I said, it's like, you know, it's like for me, this fight is like a World Series or like the NBA Finals. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people are just going to be able to tune in, check it out, and just become big fans of, you know, boxing and Showtime Sean Porter.
I mean, dude, like, I remember talking after Broner's last fight, and I was talking to a few of my boys, like, who shouldn't he fight? And one boy said he should ever step in the ring with Sean Porter.
I've heard that. And, you know, it was one of those situations where you just don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, like my dad has taught me from day one when we decided to turn pro, he said, you always stay ready. So that way when that phone call comes, you're ready for it, you know. So we've done everything we've done to this point to make sure that we're ready for a fight like Adrian Browner.
Now, it's a catchweight fight.
It's a catchweight.
So explain this to me, because it seems like it kind of works to his advantage at a catchweight more than yours. So talk about that. Like,
I think, you know, on paper, it looks like it makes sense. And to them in their minds, I guess it makes sense to make me come down a measly 3 more pounds. You know what I mean? That just all that means is I got to work a little bit harder than I usually work. That's it. You know what I mean? So he wants the catchweight to be 144 and, you know, try to get things to play in his hand in his favor. But, you know, anyone who's seen me fight knows that it's going to go down no matter what.
Yo, leading up to this fight, a lot of people know your personality. A lot of people know Broner's personality.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a hard fight to kind of sell beforehand. Yeah. A lot of people are looking up, you know, looking forward to the buildup of the fight as much as, you know, the fight night.
Yeah.
What is it like fighting someone who's going to bring that excitement, that mouthpiece, the maybe a little bit of trash talk beforehand? Like, what is that like for you? Because usually, you know, you're the big personality in these fights.
Yeah. You know what? The good part about it is I'm liked, I'm respected, I'm appreciated for what I do in the ring. So I don't need to sell it with my mouth. I don't have a gimmick. My gimmick is doing what I do in the ring. The fast punches, the speed, the quickness, the power, the agility, the versatility, all that. All that speaks for itself in the ring. You know what I mean? So I'm going to let him do what he does. He's got a big mouth. I understand that. Good part about it is, you know, he's got a big mouth. My ears, they close up when I hear something I don't want to hear. You know what I mean? So I'm going to stay off of the Instagram, the Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Whatever he wants to say. You know, there won't be any backlash. All the backlash should be done on June 20th when it matters. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what matters to me. People might say, oh, man, you're not fighting back. You're not saying nothing back. I don't care. At the end of the day, he's going to have to fight back in the ring. And he's going to be in the square ring with a pit bull that night.
See, the last time, you know, we seen him fight, he fought Molina. And he kind of boxed. He looked different. It looked like he was kind of preserving himself rather than going out there. And I guess that's maybe a product of what happened in the Maidana fight. What did you see? Did you see a more hesitant fighter when he fought Molina?
I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of him just trying to be in control, pace himself, stay on the outside and box Molina, which was smart, which is what you do against somebody who has a heavy hand like John Molina does. Difference between John Molina and Sean Porter is Sean Porter likes to throw punches, likes to come forward, has the speed and the quickness to catch up to the likes of Adrian Browner. You know, so at the end of the day, he can try to keep me on the outside, but I'll box him from the outside and I'll work my way in, get to his body. Same thing, different day.
Is there anything you can take from that Maidana fight where you saw, because, you know, Broner tried to go up. He tried to fight someone who was 147 pounds, like naturally. He tried to, you know, test someone that was like that, and they were quick enough to hit him. Is that something, you know, your skill set is up there with the Maidanas, you know, people in 147, just as good as any of them. So is that something you think you can take from it? Like, okay, you know what, he can do that to people 140 and dance around, but when you get in there, you're going to corner him and really try to put it on him like Maidana did.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Maidana, my feet are quicker, hands are faster, and I believe I'm stronger and more powerful than Maidana. Maidana was able to corner him, get close to him, make him uncomfortable, take his heart. And that's what we look to do. That's a big part of our game plan is getting close to him, sticking on him, and making this fight very, very uncomfortable and hard for him.
Do you want to make a meme out of Adrian Broner? Because, like, dude.
You know, the memes came after Paulie Malignaggi. I wasn't ready for that, you know what I mean? And I was just like, wow, you know what I mean? So I expect, you know, the fight will go the way we wanted to go. The memes will probably come up before the decision is announced.
I mean, I know you don't want this thing to go to decision. I know you kind of like to flatten that kid, but I mean, I know you're prepared to go 12 rounds, too.
Oh, yeah. We're more than prepared to go 12 rounds. And we, Team Porter, we're a throwback team. I'm a throwback fighter, you know. 13, 14, 15 rounds. That's what we prepare for. That way, when we get in there, 12 rounds, 3 minutes with a minute rest, that's what, you know what I mean? It's like clockwork. It's just like, you know, just doing it like it's like you do it in the gym. You work hard. You take it one round at a time. Make your adjustments. Game over.
As far as your fights, you know, your previous fights, you stated your record when you came on. Everyone knows your accomplishments. Who would you say has been your toughest fight so far? Like, which fight have you grown most from?
I've grown from every fight, man. I honestly, from fight one to now, every fight has had an everlasting impression on what I do in and out of the ring, the way I prepare, the whole nine. You take a look at the fight against Kell Brook. That's a fight that went 12 rounds and didn't go my way. For the, you know, for the decision, you know, and then there were also adjustments that needed to be made in the fight, during the fight, that, you know, I didn't necessarily make on time, every time, the right way. So that's a big fight that I can learn from, as well as, you know, the last fight we just had with Eric Bonet went 5 rounds and was a knockout. But, you know, we were watching the Paulie Malignaggi fight just before we went out to that fight, and we wanted to do it the exact same way, but be more in control. And I think if you take a look at the last 30 seconds to minute of my last fight and the last 30 seconds to minute of the Paulie Malignaggi fight, you see the same Sean Porter with the punching and the power, the whole nine, but you see me more in control. You see me more direct with my shots. And that's just a testament to what we do in the gym. My dad continuing to work hard with me and make sure that I grow and learn every day, all day.
So 147 is crowded. It's a pretty damn loaded division.
I appreciate it, man. My dad, we made this move a few years ago, and, you know, he said it needed to be done. I said, okay. And that's how we work. You know, he lets me know the business and the right way to go and go about things and doing them. And it's my job to do my part on carrying it out. So, you know, I don't even know how long ago now it was. He said we needed to move down to 47. And at that time, it was just Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao. I think Miguel Cotto was in there.
Right.
Just a few names were, you know, making some noise. And he said, you know, this is where the big fights are going to be. And you look up probably 4 or 5 years later now, I'm 147 pounds at the highlight of my career, at the top of the division. And that's where everybody wants to be. That's where everyone's checking out. So I'm in a very privileged position right now, and I don't take it for granted. And I plan on being here a little while longer.
I want to go back a little bit because some listeners may not even know where you came from. So kind of talk about what got you into boxing. Like, what there's different reasons. I've heard cats that you be, I was fighting in the streets, and one day I fell into a gym and I was whooping ass. So, like, what was your story?
My story is so simple, man, but it's brought me a long way. My dad used to box when I was a little baby, and you know I like to tell the story where, you know, there's three of us, three boys, and he would take us to the gym, and his number one rule was we couldn't sit down. So he started training us. I was four, the youngest, and you know, got us going on our basic jab and the double jab, 1-2, all at 4 years old. I was every day or every other day that I can remember being going to the gym. You put your bag down, but you didn't sit down. You wrapped up and you got going, you know. And that's just how it went. I don't know if, you know, his plan for us was for us to be, you know, young world champions. We became that, you know, and I know his plan wasn't for me to become a professional fighter, but I told him it was what I wanted to do, and he's made a way for me. And, you know, that my story is simple, but I appreciate it, and it's who I am, you know. A lot of fighters are from the streets, have that dog in them. My dad has that dog in him, and he put it in me, you know what I mean? So people may think that because I'm not from the streets or because I didn't live that lifestyle that I can't keep up, but it's just something that's bred in me. It's in my blood. It's in my genes, and I love it, and I keep going.
When did you know that you wanted to make this a career? Like, you've been in this since you were four, but when did you wake up and you're like, yo, this is it. This is what I'm doing for life.
You know what? When, you know, just winning. That's what we did, and I love every part of winning. I love everything that it brings, you know what I mean? It goes far beyond money for me, you know what I mean? Let's talk about the happiness and the joy and the inspiration that I bring to other people, you know what I mean? All that, you know? Even at a young age, I was seeing that, living it, feeling it. And it got to a point where I was, you know, in high school. My high school football career wasn't going the way I wanted to go, you know, and I wasn't getting offers. I was getting, you know, walk on and you'll start, you know, punt return, kick return. And, you know, I wasn't from the streets, but I ain't had the money to pay for school, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so I took a look at it, and this is how I told my dad. I said, this is boxing. It's just me. I can control this, you know. I work hard every day in this boxing game, you know. When I played football, I worked extremely hard, but I had to rely on 10 other guys every time I was on the field, you know what I mean? I told my dad, I said, we can control this. We can control the outcome of what we do and how we get it done. And he appreciated that about what I wanted to do. And ever since then, since I was about 18, is where I really wanted to do this. And he said, we're going for the Olympic Games first. And, you know, we made it as an alternate. In 2008, I went to Beijing after that. That was what I called the fun. After that, you know, the work became, you know, a steady process, and this brought me to 25-1-1.
So, do you remember? I asked this to Tony Harrison the other day. I got a funny answer, and I'll share it later. Do you remember the first time you knocked somebody out, and what it felt like? That feeling.
Man, it goes all the way back to, you know, overwhelming guys when I was 10, 11 years old, and just making them stop, making them quit.
Damn.
I would fight the same guys 4 or 5 times because that was just how the amateurs went, you know.
Right. I know they hated that.
They hated it, and I loved it. You guys, man, I'm not, y'all know me, y'all know I'm not a vicious person, but I would literally see how long it would take me to bust somebody's nose or their lip when I was 8-9 years old.
Damn.
After that first round, I was looking over to see if they was bleeding. Like, it was just something in me, you know what I mean? So I can remember hitting guys at 13-14 years old and just feeling it in my gloves and them going down, and it just, there's a fulfillment that I get from it that is like no other, you know what I mean? And that's what I look for when I fight now. That same type of passion and burn. It's like a burn, you know what I mean? But I love it.
Hold on, we got a question for your dad sitting right here. Quick question. Yo, when did you know he was grab any of the mics. Come on.
Yeah, you can grab mics.
Yeah, whichever one. When did you know that he had it? When did you know he was special? Like, he was going to be a professional. Like, he had the talent to be a professional.
Well,
like, yo,
see,
you can do this.
See, first of all, I never had that conversation with him, so I never envisioned him as a professional boxer. But I knew he had it when he was 4 or 5 years old. Everything he did, he had to do at full speed. You know, if you ask him to take out the trash, he took off running from the living room to the kitchen, grabbed the bag, ran out the house with it, put it out there, ran back up the steps, jumped over all the steps, and came back in the house waiting on you to tell him to do the next thing. So whatever that was that he was doing, he did everything at the highest rate of speed he could, and he was extremely strong. I was strong when I was a kid, so I knew that he was going to be good at all sports. So, you know, it was nothing new when he started playing football and basketball and all those, you know, all the sports that he excelled at all of them. And a lot of people don't know, Sean was a USA Today Player of the Week in football, Old Spice Red Zone Player of the Year. You know, so he broke some records in his schools, and, you know, he was that MVP on all those teams growing up. You know, when he was 10 years old, he's playing on a 13-year-old team, starting, and they needed him. You know what I mean? But the thing is,
the one game they didn't, our guard went down. I had to play guard.
They put him in at guard. But that was because they wanted to secure that win. You know what I mean?
And if you can imagine, I'm 10 against guys that are 13. You see the size difference. But again, that's what he instilled in me. Being able to, no matter what, do what I have to do. You know what I mean?
So we switch him out from linebacker to guard. He ain't no block. But, you know, he did what he had to do. Point being, you know, I knew that he was going to be a great athlete at a young age. And, you know, as he continued to grow and play all these sports and he was successful, the thing that he encountered was what he just said, you know. He needed somebody to block for him, or he needed somebody else to make the tackles. And, you know, every time the announcement is made and you're the guy on the tackles, you're the guy, you know, running the ball, you're the guy scoring the touchdown, you're the guy getting the interception, you need some help. Especially when you get to them higher levels, when you play that team that is going to the state every year, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I knew he was going to be a great athlete, just didn't know, you know, that it was going to be boxing.
What was it like for you as a father when – you know, he came up to you and said, I want to be a professional boxer, and it came down to the point of, I'm going to train you. Like, what is that like for you?
Actually, when he came to me and he said, oh, you know, I'm not going to college to play football. And I said, oh, yes, you are. And we kind of went a little bit back and forth in regards to that. And he said, well, I need to talk to you about it. And I said, all right, go ahead. And he said, no, we really need to talk. And I said, go ahead. You know, and he's still standing here looking at me. He said, no, we really need to talk. So we went walking, and we walked for about an hour. And, you know, my thing was, you got this stack of letters. You know, he's a humble kid, but there were a lot of schools looking at him. You know, it may not be what you want. It may not be the school that you want exactly, but it may be a situation. It may be a situation that gets you on to the next level, you know, or gets you on the football field and continue with your football career and gets you the education. So that's what I was looking at, which was, you know, it was great. You know, this is a payoff for all these years of playing this ball. So I'm going to move to Vegas and I'm going to trade boxers. You go play football. I see you on Saturdays. And he said, no, I want to, you know, I want to go with you, and I want to, you know, train, and I want to be a boxer. So, you know, it just so happens that every decision he's made to this point has worked out well. He's been successful, and we got no regrets. So he's still going to have to go to college at some point.
So I've heard there's always some horror stories about father and son parents in boxing. Some of them are great stories where it's like, we came up together and everything worked out. Then you hear it's like, I had to fire my dad. What's it like? What's y'all relationship? I know you guys bump heads occasionally, but how do you keep it? Do you keep boxing in the gym, and does it come home with you at the end of the day? Or how does this relationship work out?
He's asked me to keep boxing in the gym. Other people have suggested I keep boxing in the gym. Boxing is 24/7. You can't keep it in the gym. Doesn't matter who you are. See, if I'm training somebody, for example, the closest I can be to the kid, the relationship that I want, the trust factor that I need in him and he needs in me, is to be like a father. That's the closest you can possibly be. Unfortunately, a lot of guys don't get that close. I raise one. You can't get no closer than that. So, you know, anything and everything that has to be done in preparation for a fight, we do it together. And we work it out. And just like anything else, like I was yelling at him the other day in the gym, And I went over to another young boxer who wants to work with me. He's 2-0. I said, I'm yelling at him, and he's a world champion. What do you think you gonna get from me? You know, but you just can't, you can't leave boxing at home. You know, boxing is 24/7, it's 365. And for those guys like Adrian Bronner who like to play boxing, you play football, you play basketball, you play baseball, but nobody plays punch me in the face. It just, that's not, you know, that's not playing. Nobody says, hey, let's run outside and hit each other in the face. It just, you know, so it's going to catch up to him on the June the 20th, I suspect.
I think both of us make each other's jobs easy. You know, when you have other, you know, father and son duels or whatever who, you know, they may have discrepancies or disagreements or, you know, I don't like this or that. I've always been taught from day one, you know, you don't talk back. You do what you're told to do. And I think it's just plain and simple that I should and I do maintain that level of respect to the point where I don't question or ask or argue back. You know what I mean? And, you know, even then, and there are some instances where it does happen. And then guess what? I'm the one taking a step back, realizing that, you know, what I did was wrong or how I went about responding to it was not the right, was not the correct way. And vice versa. He understands that I'm going to always be here. I'm going to always do what he asked me to do. He got nothing to worry about. We're going to take care of the business and we're going to have fun and love each other and enjoy it. So we've really made each other's jobs easy. And this is how we like it.
How do y'all keep the girls away? I know they're coming.
You know, it's easy for me because I don't like groupies. They bug me, man. Most people be like, man, what are you talking about? I don't like a female who just, you know, just throwing it at you. Like, have some class. You know what I mean?
Stay out of the DMs, huh?
Yeah, so I stay at home for the most part. I'm in Las Vegas, but I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't gamble. Y'all see me at the movies all the time or bowling or doing what I do is called having clean fun. You know what I mean? Playing some pool, watching a basketball game.
That we got to get home to.
We went paintballing the other day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he shot me.
You know what I mean? It's just stuff that's going to keep me lively and having fun and, you know, focus on the right things. You know what I mean? So girls really ain't, you know, I love them and they love me, but, you know, it only goes so far.
Yo, you had mentioned, you know, chilling at home and you like movies and all that. Yeah. Today for our pound for pound list, I decided that, you know, we should kind of have a movie theme to this joint. So there's a ton of movies out there we could have chose, and you watch a lot of them, but we probably all just saw Avengers and, you know, super big comic book nerd right here. So
yeah. And you know what though, I'm spoiled because I wasn't the comic book era, I was the cartoon era, you know what I mean? So everything y'all read about, I just got to see the cartoon, you know what I mean? And now when they're coming out with these movies that are exactly like the cartoons, where they able to have these effects that y'all ain't have in them comic books.
I ain't had none of that.
You know what I mean? I'm spoiled to the point where I don't even want to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nah, so. I mean, dog, I came up watching Spider-Man, and probably remember The Incredible Hulk with Lou Ferrigno, and the effects were terrible. Yeah. And I used to read the comic books like, damn it, why can't they ever get this thing right? They get it right now. The Avengers, I was like, yo, they got it right. Yeah. So
X-Men still breaks my heart, though. I used to watch the X-Men cartoon, mm-hmm. when it was dope, and Rogue could fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, I saw the movie, she couldn't fly. I was like, I'm out of here. I couldn't do it.
What's she doing? She like running and through the walls or something.
Yeah, like,
right?
Yo, she was just horrible. Yeah, she was nothing.
Yeah,
like,
she was a flyer.
She touched people's face for half the movie.
The last movie, yeah, that's
like
what she was doing.
She couldn't do anything else. Yeah. He was so dope in the cartoon.
You know what, though? They keep showing that one on HBO that I've become a fan of it. I've become a fan of it. I didn't, when the first time I seen it, I was like, that was all right. But I've seen it so many times, I'm like, all right, this one wasn't that bad. This one wasn't that bad.
All right, what's some of your favorites then? Like superhero joints?
Obviously, the last Avengers was completely boss. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was completely boss. I'm looking forward to, obviously, the new Superman versus Batman. Y'all heard about that one?
Yes. Yeah, yo.
And then the new Fantastic Four.
Yeah, well, man, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah,
yep.
But if you want to go back to the last Spider-Man that they made, I really like the last Spider-Man. They're coming out with that, the new Amazing Spider-Man series. Yeah. I like the actor. He's pretty fresh.
He just dropped out, too, yo.
Yeah,
Andrew Garfield, man. He's good.
Yeah. He went from The Social Network to that. So I was hip to him. And Let's talk about the new Mad Max, because I just seen that.
See, I haven't seen it yet. All I've heard was amazing.
Was it crazy?
Listen. Somebody, because, you know, I do my posts and everything.
I know.
And somebody brought to my attention. They was like, yo, I couldn't dig it. And they was fighting in the desert for 2 hours. That wasn't my thing. I say, you know what? They fighting in the desert for 2 hours, so I can understand how that storyline don't really go with you. But the action that they brought, you know what I mean? The 3D effect on this movie was so live. Usually I sit close to the screen to get it. My dad was with somebody, and we went all the way up to the top. I was kind of like, all right, how this going to work out? My dad is reaching for the screen.
Yeah, I'm grabbing stuff. Yo, I'm serious. I was like, and the girl was sitting here, and she good looking. I'm like, damn, you see it, right? You do see that. Yeah. I ain't tripping.
Yeah, so
you know what I mean? It was, dude, it was coming right at me. Yeah. And I looked up, I'm like, oh, man.
The effect
you
was
see
sweet.
That, though, right?
Yeah.
You see that?
The effect was sweet, man. And so that was, you know, that was a really great movie.
I didn't know it was
a remake, so I tried to watch the original with
Mel Gibson.
And I was about 40, 45 minutes in, man. I'm a real movie watcher, so I gave it a chance. I was like, yo, this is whack. I don't know about the going to see the new one, right? And then my dad said, we gotta go see a movie. What movie we gonna take these guys to see? I was like, you know what? Let's go. Just go see Mad Max. I wasn't excited about it, but, you know, leaving the theater, I was really pleased with that one.
Yo, you really had that or Pitch Perfect. That was, like, your only two choices. Like, you know, if you would have chose Pitch Perfect over Mad Max, we would have had a whole different conversation now.
Exactly. We got a few more weeks before something really drops. So it was like Mad Max was really the only thing. Pitch Perfect. I am gonna check that out, but not at theaters.
I saw Pitch Perfect.
Not at theaters.
You saw Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He also watches Bad Girls Club, which we found out last
week. I did watch
Bad.
Hey, man, don't disrespect me on this show. Cut it out. Yo, before you go, drop all the jewels, the Instagram, the Twitter, and all that. Even though you say you're not gonna be on it, building up to the fight, but people still want to follow you.
I'm gonna do my posts and everything, and you know, I'm gonna ignore the rest. Y'all feel free to comment. I will see them from time to time. Showtime Sean P on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Showtime Sean P. I always said it was going to get bigger and better soon. It's coming up June 20th at the MGM Grand. Showtime Sean Porter versus Adrian Browner.
Yo, it's all right. You can mess up his name. We got time. We got time.
Look, it's possible you can mess up his face.
Yo,
whatever. I mean, the kid just was on Instagram pouring out like a bottle of liquor at the club. Didn't even drink any of it. He just poured the whole thing out.
I don't know. I saw him get handcuffed Floyd Weekend.
Yeah, you're right. It's two bottles. It was two bottles of liquor he poured out. Come on, man. You know, you can feed somebody's kids with that. Cut it out.
Yo. Yeah, I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
So,
this is what he's doing to prepare for the fight, I guess.
I got better things to do with my time, which is, you know, prepare, stay ready, and no, look forward to the big opportunities that this sport has to bring me, my team, and my family.
Yo, we're going to take a quick break, come right back, speak to some more guests, and, you know, we're just going to keep it rolling.
Appreciate y'all, man. I'll be back real soon.
All right, stay tuned.
For sure.
All right, welcome back. You're still listening to The Corner, and right now we have another guest.
Brett Lawson here, longtime friend of Kel Dansby.
Had to bring him in. Brett works radio everywhere, a little bit of here, a little bit there. Right now, ESPN out here in Vegas.
Just got the internship a few days ago with ESPN Radio 1100 right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, when I'm out in Iowa. It's a host of Laying Down the Law, Karen Elliott 9.7 FM Radio, and Kel frequent contributor to the show, done many spots, so this is a way I return the favor. Plus, I'm a big fan of what you guys got going here. I've listened to every episode so far, so it's awesome to finally be a part of it.
Nice. Yeah, look at that. Everyone, make sure you hit us up on the mailbag. Forgot to mention that already. So it's thecornerpod@gmail.com, thecornerpod@gmail.com. Let Andres know when he is full of shit and wrong.
Like, really?
It happens.
It doesn't take long for you to start shit, right?
I'm just saying, it happens.
All right,
we need to talk Uriah Faber, Frankie Edgar, UFC. And it was in Manila. It was early as shit in the morning.
I was up for it.
You were up.
Yeah, I told you I had to cover the Taylor Swift concert. So I ended up having to write my story that night. So I just kind of woke up and finished up what I was doing. And it was like, bam, look, I was watching Mark Munoz.
Oh, that was a good fight, though. Munoz did his thing.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was kind of surprised he won. I thought he might have went out on his back.
Yeah, yeah, so did I. But then everyone was the long-awaited Frankie Edgar, Uriah Faber, and we were hype about it. Everyone was hype about it. And
everyone was not hype about it because a lot of people did not know that fight was happening.
Really?
Come on, man. If you that fight should I've said this before. It was one of the most underserviced main events with two major names that I've ever seen with the UFC. People totally forgot about it.
I feel when they first announced it, it was a big deal. Like the whole Manila aspect, the fact it's Frankie versus Uriah. I think when they first announced that week, it got more hype than the fact when the actual card came close.
It got buried between Floyd and everything else in boxing. Like,
and it was at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that did not help.
Nah, 7 a.m. is rough. I mean, I didn't see no undercard fights, no nothing.
I watched it. I T-voted it. But, again, man, it's one of those fights that 2 years ago could have headlined any major card. And then you put it on this, a free card, a fight night card, and nobody cared about it.
Fight morning. And the fight wasn't that dope. Like,
it was a wash. In many respects, it was a wash. And I figured Frankie was going to win. I just didn't think Uriah wouldn't be able to pull out a round. You know, I thought he was going to be able to do some. I thought the wrestling would have came into play, but I tend to forget sometimes how great of a wrestler Frankie is and how good he is at stuff and takedowns. His footwork was impeccable, and his boxing was on point, and he just kind of made Uriah look old.
Yeah, Uriah didn't look good at all. I mean, I'm not the biggest Frankie Edgar fan. I'll go on the record.
We know that.
Yeah, like, it's just he's not my favorite to watch, but –
Well, that's why you said Chad Mendes was going to knock him out. That's why you told me Chad Mendes was going to knock out Frankie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I always pick against Frankie, and he surprises me sometimes, a lot of the times. But I just don't see it with him. I don't see what a lot of other people see. And to me, his window is closing. But he keeps winning, and they keep putting him against the likes of BJ Penn now Uriah Faber. And sooner or later, you can't protect him anymore, though. Well, he's going to have to go after someone young, and he has to fight for the title again and lose, and that's all fine and dandy, and that's the story of Frankie Edgar.
The slander.
I'm just saying.
Do you agree with this, what he's saying?
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you.
I understand what you mean by the window closing, but the fact that you say that pretty much that's all that Frankie Edgar is at this point in time, granted, you know, we saw him dominate and pretty much not even aging BJ Penn, a carcass BJ Penn, lifeless BJ Penn. But what he was able to do to a guy like Uriah, it was impressive. Because, you know, Uriah, yeah, he's not what he once was, but Uriah, he's still one of the best submission fighters, all in all, that they have in the promotion. He's a great athlete. He always seems to be on the up and up. I don't know if that a lot has to do with, you know, the gimmick of the whole California kid, of the fan base, you know, because people love him. But he always seems relevant, even though he may not be technically, you know, quote-unquote, in his prime. So I think I get what you're saying about how Frankie's window may be closing, because quite frankly it is, especially you look at some other up-and-comers in the division he's competed in. But to say full-blown that's all he is, and once they put him against, you know, a young buck, that he's just going to get his ass whooped, that's a little – I think you're selling him a little short.
I mean, come on, man. He stopped Cub Swanson, who was rolling in the division. Cub was rolling in the division. Who else beats Frankie Edgar in that division right now?
I mean, I don't think Frankie can – I didn't think he'd beat Uriah, so that's
that says
one.
A lot, and he just had a unanimous decision.
And unanimous decision.
I smell the hate.
He's not winning a championship, so
I mean, there's a lot of guys aren't winning championships.
Yeah,
you got guys like Jose Aldo sitting at the top of the division, nobody's winning championships.
He doesn't beat McGregor. I don't care what people say. It doesn't happen.
That's interesting.
That's fun right there.
You see Frankie get stopped. The day you see Frankie McGregor, you see Frankie get stopped.
Frankie hasn't been stopped, man. I mean, where do you come up with this stuff?
It's in the top of my head. Genius thoughts.
Clearly.
Just roll out of the top of my head. And Frankie, who people could hardly imagine being stopped, would get stopped by Conor. And he'd look really old really fast. And that's what happens. Like,
this is why you're my co-host, because you come up with shit that nobody else is going to agree with.
No, I mean, loves Frankie. Like, he could beat
Frankie's
Connor.
A good
Connor
fighter.
Can't handle a wrestler.
Where's this stuff on my radio show? I'm not saying you're conservative by any means, but I feel you're more like straight line, where you're being radical right now. Of course, I mean, I've listened to some of your views the past couple of episodes. You know,
they're all ridiculous.
Since the debut show, but how you're doing Frankie right now, I mean, the guy breaks people down. He's relentless in there.
I can see when someone has it, Frankie doesn't have it.
Then what is it?
Like your boy Dolph Ziggler.
What's the answer?
I call it how I see it. Some people don't got it.
So what does Frankie have? He was the lightweight champ.
Yeah.
He has been dominating. He's only lost to Jose Aldo at featherweight. And He just beat Uriah Faber, who Uriah only loses to champions.
It's true.
So where does the Frankie Edgar hate come from?
It's not even hate. It's just
no. That's hate. You know, this is full blown hate.
Yeah, I just don't see the ceiling with Frankie. Like, I think he's past the prime, and I, okay, you know, they want to put him on cards, but there's a reason he was fighting in Manila, especially even with a fight that hardcore MMA fans wanted to see with him and Uriah, is Frankie wasn't going to sell anything bigger.
But wouldn't you say that's a knock on Uriah just as much as Frankie then?
No, because Uriah, okay, Uriah also has been coming off of several cards where he headlined the free fights on Fox and right. Fox Sports 1.
Prelims, so, all that.
Yeah, but Uriah has cornrows. He's a white boy with cornrows. Like, ask Justin Timberlake. People love that shit. So what? He can headline tons of stuff. You don't have to sell him. But Frankie, there's a reason why he didn't fight last July on the main card. He fought the next night. And him and
headline the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah,
yeah, it was Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter. When was the last time Frankie headlined something of note? Give him any type of number. UFC
I mean,
what?
But I mean,
give him a number. UFC what?
You have to look overall with the division. The lighter weights weren't headlining any cards, any major pay per views until Jose Aldo. It wasn't happening. Edgar Aldo was the co-main event. It wasn't
last time he was on a numbered card.
You're using a very pro wrestling oriented mentality in this, like who's over and who's a drawing factor. Are we talking strictly what he can do in the octagon, or just his relevance in the sport?
He can't be the champ. He can't be the champ, and he can't sell. I got no use for you. You got to do one or the other. You better sell, or you got to be the champ.
The hate. Like, okay, going back, you say Conor McGregor destroys Frankie Edgar.
He stops Frankie Edgar. Correct.
Anybody else?
I mean, no. I would take if they went at it, I would pick Conor right now. But I mean, define full blown stop. Are you talking in dominating fashion? Because
No. What are you talking? No, not at all. I think he catches him with one.
Well,
I respect Frankie enough to give him that.
He could catch Jose Aldo. Who's
I anticipate him catching Jose Aldo. Well, before the shit talk. Yeah, listen. Talking has changed a lot.
See, I'm big on the shit talk. I mean, maybe this was just me being a Chael Sonnen guy over the years, but I feel the shit talk works with him.
No, you don't. You don't poke a sleeping bear.
Well,
like,
I don't know.
Aldo was very lackadaisical in his past couple fights. No motivation. He will be motivated, and we'll see the best Aldo we've seen since what?
We haven't seen a great UFC. We haven't seen a great WEC? Great Aldo since WEC. Or maybe the Faber fight. Maybe the Faber fight.
That was good. All right.
WEC Aldo was mowing people
down. WEC Aldo is what I expect to get, and I'm not sure if Connor's ready for that per se. But Frankie, yeah, he has no shot at being a champ. What is he going to do? He can move up, but at this point, what I put Frankie versus who's the number one contender in the other division? Cowboy?
Nah, I mean, you got Khabib and you got Pettis.
Oh, they're both injured, though. So right now, Cowboy
is the
number one contender.
Really talking right now? Yeah.
So he's not as good as Cowboy. He can't move up and get a title. He can't stay in his division and get a title. He can't move down. Like, what is he doing?
So Kel, in your world, any fighter who's not number one or two should just quit. Should just stop fighting and go home.
There was once this great philosopher. His name is Ricky Bobby.
Oh, good.
He said,
Lord.
If you're not first, you're last.
Jesus Christ.
Words to live by.
All right, enough of your Edgar slander. We got to move on.
Wow.
This is ridiculous.
Let's talk about 187.
Wow. The people in the Jersey Shore despise
right?
you.
And he comes out to Biggie. You know how much
man,
I want to love someone who comes out to Biggie?
You just disrespect him.
In my hearts of hearts. I love the entrance.
Have you seen a boring Frankie Edgar fight?
Nah. I mean, no, he usually stops people. The Penn fight really, to me, it was surprising. And I liked his work in that fight because he dominated Penn. But
that's
Penn was on his way out. And then this time, Uriah, I thought, would give him a better fight. I thought Uriah was going to win and just slip in a choke or something, and he dominated that. But once again, they're giving him people on a platter to fight. Like, okay, give him someone young.
They didn't give
him
Cub Swanson. That was not a gimme, and a Uriah fight was not a gimme either. You just said you picked Uriah.
I did pick
Frankie
Edgar. I don't know what happened to Uriah.
How is he getting served up on a platter?
Uriah doesn't like fighting at 7 a.m. I don't know what the hell to tell you on that one. Like, it wasn't good for Uriah.
I don't think it wasn't 7 a.m. their time.
It was regular time their time. Just our time.
Yeah, I mean, but that's 7.
Your
body doesn't change.
Blinded by the hate.
You're using time zones now.
You can give me wherever you want. It's 7 a.m. for me. It's 7 a.m. for me.
Oh, man. Oh.
Listen, I don't know what happened to Uriah. That's what I'm saying. He took
an
ass.
So you blame Uriah and don't give Frankie credit, basically, is what
Frankie
you're doing.
Did his thing. Frankie fought whoever they put in front of him. I'd like to see them put someone better in front of Frankie.
Like who?
Someone younger. Give him a
– who?
Somebody.
Give me somebody. He beats Ricardo Lamas.
Okay.
He already beat Cub Swanson.
Cub Swanson was white hot.
Yeah. And Cub was on fire. He beats Max Holloway.
You know who I want to see him fight next? Like, in all honesty, I'd like Poirier to move down.
Poirier's not moving back down. He just moved up.
No, he just moved up, but he looks great at that new weight, right?
He's going to stay at lightweight. He's not moving down.
But I'd like to see him. So Frankie, move up. I want to see that fight. I want to see him against someone young and spry and just see what the hell happens. Instead of someone on the plus side of 35 years old for the last year and a half. Like, come on.
Your slander is ridiculous.
I mean, how old is Cub? Should I look this up?
Before
how old is Cub? Let's look up Cub's age.
Well, why are you doing that? Before we move on, can I ask you this? When did this, like, hatred for Frank Yeager start? Was it, like, 2010 when he really broke out? Was it there all along, or did it just, like, happen recently?
No, he just doesn't do it for me. Like, it's just I've never felt an attachment to Frank Yeager. Like, I watch his fights, and he's good, and he wins. But, you know, him and Uriah before this fight, obviously, had, like, similar paths where, you know, they're really good. They're good enough to beat everyone else in the division, just not be champion. In which Frankie was champion, so I can't take that away from him.
Oh, yeah.
Beating
one of the best of all time to get the championship.
Lately, I should say. And it just never did it for me. Like, I was just like, okay, yo, he's just kind of just riding along, riding the wave. Maybe he doesn't have, like, super huge knockouts. I don't know. I can't find the one moment that just sticks out in my head. And I was like, yo, Frankie Yeager is the truth. And I still can't. I honestly can't.
Now the resiliency against Gray Maynard, that didn't matter when we got dropped.
I'm tired of seeing Frankie the underdog. No, like, I just want to see him. You want to put him top three in the division, all this stuff, fine. Let's see him get into two or one. Like, sooner or later, you got to keep going up.
Well, that's
he's
what
just
going to
be number three all the time.
I can't talk
he's not
to you
being
about
the top
this anymore.
Being the top two.
The fact I'm actually here for this is great.
I'm looking up
when you hear it, it's great, but it's not the same as actually being here.
Because you see the disgust in his face when he talks about Frankie Yeager.
Yo, it really.
Nah.
I just don't see it.
Can't slander my boy. Let's talk UFC 187.
Cub Swanson is 31.
All right.
And that's relatively young. Cub Swanson is 31. And how many wins did he have in a row before he fought Frankie?
Oh, he had a good amount.
There you go.
Yeah, he was destroying people. Cub Swanson looked like he was about to have that title shot and get his rematch with Jose Aldo from WEC.
Yeah. I mean, Cub was doing his thing. He's also lost to Max Holloway since, though. He had 6 fights in a row that he won.
That's pretty damn good.
He beat Dustin Poirier, which was good in that run.
Pretty
beat
damn Dennis good.
Siever. Yeah, he was on a roll. He's lost 2 since.
So... Never mind. Anyway.
Yo, I can't do it. Like, Frankie's cool. Like, whatever. I can't get behind Frankie. Like, I feel like you guys just set yourself up for disaster.
Nope. But
not when he wins. But we'll see.
Yo, looking at this card this weekend, it's probably the most. It kind of held together, even though John Jones fell out because we had so many fights that have just been ruined by injuries. What fight, Brett, are you looking forward to seeing the most on this card?
You know. It probably still is the light heavyweight bout just because I really just love the fact that we have – you basically had a guy who was a freak athlete, great all around. You know, I know you guys hate his boxing, but unorthodox striker who has outstanding MMA wrestling. You know, for those who are listening, there is a difference.
Big difference.
Outstanding takedown defense, submissions all around versus a guy who's white hot, has the deadliest hands out of anyone really right now. And it's just knocking people out left and right. And I love the fact that even though we don't get that John Jones, you know, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, some people say number one fighter of all time, we still get a guy like Daniel Cormier, who even though he lost his most recent bout with John Jones, the one we were all, you know, there for, great fight until he hit the fatigue wall, it's really not too much of a drop-off because he still really is next in line. You know, Gustafsson, everyone wanted to see the rematch, but he got dropped by Rumble. So you can't just throw Gustafsson back in there after he just got beat by Johnson in his hometown in dominating fashion. DC gets the shot. Rumble's still white hot. It doesn't change anything about Rumble's momentum. DC gets another shot at the belt. You have an interesting matchup between a guy with hands of stone as a striker and who's just a beast ever since, you know, his return stint in the UFC. And a guy who, in terms of wrestling credentials, is probably the best in the business, quite frankly.
DC did make a good point, though. He said he didn't knock out Phil. Like, there's people he hasn't knocked out, and Rumble is really good when someone will stand and strike with him, but wrestling aspects, he'll let that get into a wrestling match.
Yeah, but in all honesty, Phil probably wishes he got knocked out. He probably would have taken a whole lot less punishment. Phil got tore up against Rumble.
Oh, Rumble dominated him, but he didn't knock him out.
Well,
I mean, just
true.
And I think DC's counted on that. He won't get knocked out. I mean, the guy has one loss, so that's going to be a great fight. Andres, what's your number one fight of the night, though?
I mean, that fight still remains, because it's my most intriguing fight, because I can't pick a winner. Like, I'm struggling to pick a winner in this fight. So I'm very intrigued on how this thing will play out. But, you know, I'm really interested in, it's not even on the main card, the Makovsky-Johnson fight. I've been big on Zach Makovsky when he was in Bellator, and to see him get this fight against John Dodson, he could either show up or get flattened, because Dodson is a savage with his
truth.
Hands.
And Dodson, I think, would have fought Mighty Mouse if it wasn't for tearing his ACL on a trampoline or some shit with his kids. Like, just a crazy freak
Dodson,
accident.
Though. Like, when you hear that shit, it's so John Dodson. No, met him, it's like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I completely believe that.
All the stories I've heard about him, I believe are true. I don't know him.
The guy's just a ball of energy, yo. Like, just he's funny, non-stop man. Energy.
But you know what's funny? John Dodson as champion is better than Demetrius Johnson as champion, because John Dodson is so much more intriguing as a person. I love DJ as a fighter.
He's not an entertainer.
He's just not entertaining.
Nah.
But Dodson winning that title, and Dodson doing interviews, and Dodson sitting in press row, and Dodson on ESPN is so fun. And I want to see Dodson get back in that position.
And he has legit knockout power for that weight, which is crazy. So, I mean, that was going to be my most intriguing fight. Dodson, I don't want to, like, take the same fight, though, on Swagger Jack. So, I mean, outside of that, I guess I have to choose Weidman. Weidman's my number two. Because I'm waiting for him to hit the wall. Like, sooner or later, those injuries have to catch up with right?
Yeah, okay. See, this is interesting, because I know you're big on Weidman. Maybe not as big as I am, because, you know, you call him my boy all the time.
All the time.
Chris Weidman's my boy. Anyone you follow me on Twitter, at @ObeyTheLawson. Yeah, my Twitter name's a little more complex than these two. I kind of incorporate the puns in there. Yeah, I like Weidman. I know you do, too, but you – every time, whether it's on my radio show, whether it's your articles, whether it's your tweets, just, you know, BS conversation, you always talk about him hitting the wall. Now, that's understandable, because he battles the injuries. And now he has a guy in his backyard named Luke Rockhold. So that could be the wall every bit as much as hurting his knee in training.
Yep.
But you focus on this fight right here. Vitor Belfort, I'll go over my prediction. I like Weidman. No, you know, no surprise for you. Vitor Belfort is going to bring it, because once the cage door closes, it is still a fight. I know your stance on Vitor has changed, you know, with post-controversy.
Vitor is way better.
It's not the same. But at the same time, he's still one of the best that, quite frankly, this era has seen, not to the extent of some of the other guys. But the guy's a badass, and he's going to bring it to Weidman. So we still got a fight on our hands. I like Weidman to win. I think Weidman is as well-rounded as any fighter in the UFC right now. I think his body is really what does it. The guy's just a tank. He's a machine, you know, in the octagon. But Vitor's still one of the best to put on a pair of gloves, I guess, in this era, or at least the era right before this era, I should say, of fighting.
It's going to be rough, man. I mean, we saw Machida, and Machida had, like, some shots to get Weidman out of there. It looks like he rocked him a couple times. Weidman's chin looked like it could be tested, but it didn't happen. Is Vitor really better than Machida at this point?
No, not at all. And you know, Machida's a better striker than Vitor, and you know, Weidman is he's developing in jiu-jitsu. Everyone knows about his wrestling credentials. What I love about Weidman, he'll stick in there and brawl with you. His last fight, which is crazy enough to think was the Machida bout, he's there throwing leg kicks against a karate guy. He's there standing going toe-to-toe with him. Weidman does not back down from anyone. It's interesting, because he's a wrestler. And if it were – sometimes I think if it were up to him, he wouldn't go down to the mat once. He would just sit there and square off with you.
Yeah, I mean,
I like this fight a lot. I just don't give Vitor much of a chance. I think if he can't penetrate through Weidman in the first couple rounds, I think he'll be deflated. And if Weidman takes him down, I think the jitsu – like, we haven't gotten a chance to see Weidman's jitsu.
Not yet.
His jits game is serious.
It's really serious.
Like, people forget the things
he's done.
He's
a brown belt, isn't he? Yeah.
But if you forget in grappling tournaments how well he did. And we never get a chance to see Weidman put those things on display. And I think he might do it against Vitor, because the fact is Vitor is a much more dynamic striker than he is on the ground. So if Weidman grounds him, he can kind of show off. You know, and I'd like to see Weidman finish him. I don't know if it happens.
Oh, I think it happened. Five rounds?
Five rounds is a long time.
It's a long time for Vitor to stay in there. Like,
you got to pace yourself for five rounds.
Five rounds. Well, and against a wrestler, against someone who will take you down, three and four, like, your punching power is gone. Like, you don't have the wind to even strike. So Weidman, if he wants a knockout, he'll get it in rounds three, four, five. Like.
Let me ask you this. you kind of chose that one by default. Let's say Khabib, the fight's still with Cowboy still on. Would that be?
Easily.
Yeah, that would be
easily. I just want to see Khabib fight again.
Yeah.
One, I haven't seen Khabib fight live. I've never covered one of his fights. Mm. I want to see that. And to me, now reputation precedes skill. The division's gotten so good around him.
Yeah.
I just want to see him prove it again. Because why not? Like, Cowboy, to me, has gotten better the past 2 years.
Cowboy's going to Cowboy. Yo, That's what we're going to have. He's going
to
Cowboy.
It's legit. So I really need to see what's going to happen there. And you look at RDS, like, who would have picked that?
Nobody.
Nah.
Dos Anjos, nobody would have picked that.
No.
Nobody picked that. Excuse me,
RDA. Yeah, but, like, no one's picking that. Top five, like, 1 through 5 in that division, yo, it's a toss-up. Every fight.
They're all good fighters. I think more importantly with Cerrone, now he's got to fight McDessie at this card, and he'll probably go tear through him real quick. We might see Cerrone on the July card.
just a quick turnaround.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yo, everyone else is injured.
It's almost part. It's like it's part of him now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what people want. You know, it's not even crazy. Like, they call him crazy or, like, ridicule him for it. People are hoping he does that. The guy's developed, an insanely strong fan base. I think a lot of it has to do with the personality. What you get is what you get with Cowboy. What you see is what you get. He is all real. He is what he is. And I think that's why people like him. The past couple of months, his fan base has just exploded.
Is Benson staying in that division?
In welterweight? No, he's coming back down. He's got a lightweight fight. He's fighting Mike Johnson.
Okay, I was about to say, that division's about to be, like, loaded. Like,
lightweight is very, very loaded. And it's fun to watch, and it's like I would like to see.
Minus injuries.
That's what I was going to say. I'd like to see everybody stay healthy for once so we can get these fights that we need to see.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see Pettis and Khabib fight at some point. I want to see Dos Anjos and Cerrone go at it again. But the injuries are so ravaged. It's like Donald Cerrone is the saving grace of the lightweight division. He has saved the division by stepping in or fighting somebody on short notice. He doesn't care. Like, fighting Benson Henderson on short notice. Like,
he is the division right now.
Yeah, they was like, hey.
I think Cerrone as of right now. Even though what we saw Dos Anjos do was incredible, I still think Cowboy.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. And Pettis went from penthouse to outhouse real quick.
Bad.
That's some injuries, man. And he got exposed.
Yeah, yo.
He doesn't like getting hit.
It's rough. I mean, we're really going to see a change in the division, and it would have been great to see it, you know, that first preview of it this weekend.
Right.
But injuries are injuries, and UFC has proven that these injuries are the real deal, and it's crushing cards. I know how you feel about this, Andres.
Yeah.
Like, you hate the stacking of cards for this reason.
I got kind of like what Andres said. I 187 has been able to hold itself together. Like, it's a fighter. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, granted, well, one of, you know, the bout wasn't really an injury, like, it's something else, but it still held itself together. There's still some intrigue. It's Cowboy's still there, even though, you know, the quality of opponent has gone down. We finally get to see Weidman Belfort, and I'm stoked for Rumble for Johnson Cormier.
That's gonna be great.
Yeah, and I'm it's hard to pick a winner.
I mean, Uriah Hall on the undercard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the preliminary card is better than the DJ card that everybody crapped on.
Oh, yeah.
The fact you got
Berkman?
Berkman versus Dung Young Kim is a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
You know
Berkman's
what I'm saying?
Been on it. I've liked, Berkman's past three fights, I think I've seen.
Berkman, he was good in World Series fight.
Yo,
I mean,
great.
Rose is on the card, and it's like you have a lot of intrigue. Mike Pyle is on the untelevised fight pass.
How
card.
Crazy is that? I saw that. I was like, what? And Scoggins? Like,
yeah, Scoggins, Sample. I mean, you got this is a
great
very
fighters.
This is a loaded card that we should have a lot of fun at. Hopefully the fights won't stink. Like,
I'll be there at 3 before, o'clock. Like, I really want to see every single one. Like, I'm be there, like, super early.
I'm stoked to see Brown go at it.
Brown and Orlovsky?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah,
too.
Brown's good enough. Brown's good enough.
Oh, I think because,
yeah,
you
I
know.
Think so too.
I think so too, but it's fun. It's fun to watch, you know, guys like Orlovsky, who was, you know, just so good back in the day, but not like back in the day, you know, kind of just a few years ago before we got into this era. We're in, like, kind of almost like in the third phase, you will, of the UFC. You had the Gracie and those type of days in the early days. Then you had the Liddell, the Couture, the Ortiz type of era. Now we're in, you know, the John Jones entering the Rousey era. There's almost three phases. You get the Orlovsky, who was kind of that second phase. Brown now, who's one of the top guys in his division now. And I like Travis Brown a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Before we wrap up the segment, though, today Dana White came out and said that as soon as John Jones comes back, he has a title shot. Like, day he's ready to fight, he's getting his shot at the belt. How do you feel about that?
I had to make sure that was a real tweet when I first saw that.
Yeah, me too.
How do you feel about that? You think John should just walk in and say, yo, the Coke is behind me and it's time to go?
No. I think, look, this is how I feel. If Cormier were to beat Rumble and John were to come back, John needs to fight Rumble. If Rumble beats Cormier and John were to come back, John needs to fight Gustafson. I don't think he should get an immediate title shot. That's just how I feel.
I agree. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see the guy in the hunt again eventually, you know, personal issues aside, whatever. I'm talking strictly the fighter, John Jones. He makes his return. We want to see him in the mix once again because we all know about his few, you know, the Rumble match so far is the bout that obviously may look like it wasn't meant to be if this is how it really is. Cormier, everyone loves that rivalry. You know, we'd like to see a rematch there.
I'll see you again.
Gustafson, the best fight in the history of the division. So either way, there's some intrigue there. But in terms of full-blown saying, hey, straps on the line, you win, you're the champion once again, coming out of all this bullshit, then
yeah, it's rough.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know.
You know, the other thing is, if Dominick Cruz didn't get an immediate title shot,
right,
and he didn't lose the title, he got hurt, why does John Jones get an immediate title shot?
No, that's true. And then you see Cruz came out with that one good fight and then got hurt again. Like, exactly. If that was a title fight, it changed the whole thing.
Like, he mowed Mitsugaki down. But the fact is that Cruz never lost a title. He should have had a top-tier fight.
Right away.
For John Jones to get a title shot, I think it's kind of disrespectful to anybody else who has worked hard and just have been injured.
Yeah.
John Jones, he fucked up. Like, that's all there is to it. He cost himself.
Yeah,
he shouldn't get that shot.
There's no uncrowned champion type of thing with John Jones. No, he blew it. He got stripped, and rightfully so. They hands down made the right call, and according to you, a little too late. But, you know, they made the right decision. They booted him. Get your life together. You could come back. And, I mean, I don't know. According to what Dana White said, you know, a few hours ago, it'll be for the title. But either way, it's not going to just be given to him. Okay? Because even if he's in the title bout right away, rest assured, no matter who wins this bout, it's not going to be easy for him. It's not going to be a walk in the park.
Not at all.
Definitely. Make sure you hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Kel Dansby on Twitter. Pretty simple.
Yeah, I'm at Andreas Hill. Spell it out phonetically. And what's the podcast? Give them the podcast Twitter handle.
Podcast Twitter is The Corner LSN on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yep.
We have thecornerpod@gmail.com for any of your questions.
Please.
Send it there. We're out of here.
Peace. I wish I could keep this feeling. I wish I could keep this feeling.